Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial from Bozeman, Montana. And this is the Meditation to Self-Realization show with Jim and Marion Koslick. And I'm Jim, and Marion is in Florida. She went to the Field of Awakening conference down near Miami. I think it was at Fort Lauderdale near the airport. And she's actually did that with Pritaji. And I'm sure she'll have a lot of stories to tell when she comes back. I just got back from India and did tapas for a month, and that was fantastic. So we'll combine a future show probably when we I'll probably be the next show. But for this show, I have a interview of Krishnaji that Lewis Howes did a while back, I think a couple of years ago maybe, and it'll take you inside of Ekam and why Krishnaji and Pritaji started this Oneness Academy and the Oneness Movement. So it's recorded on YouTube. And we might get cut off a little bit. It's over an hour, but let's get started.
Ago, 2 months ago, 2 months ago,
Yes.
and really didn't know what to expect coming
Okay.
here. She just said, "You need to come." She invited me. I had the recommendation from our good friend Ben Sterner,
Yes.
who introduced us.
Yes.
And I said, "Okay, I trust you guys. I'll come." But I didn't know what
Thank
to
you.
expect. But what I learned and what I created was magic. So I want to thank you for bringing me into your
Wonderful.
home, making me part of your family, and for your incredible team for having me here. Now, One World Academy is a wisdom school that you started in
Yes.
2009. Is that correct?
Yes.
And why did you start this? Before we talk about my experience of what I've learned, I want to know why you started it.
We started One World Academy to teach people to live in powerful spiritual states. And we are constantly looking for answers for our happiness, for our joy, for our fulfillment in the external. Whereas we actually need to take a journey inwards. All our experiences in life happens within us. Take any emotion for that matter, emotion of hurt, anger, peace, love, jealousy, connection, courage, fear, passion. Where do you experience these emotions? You experience these emotions within you. So if you want a transformation, if you want a change to happen in your life, the journey you need to make is within you. But we are constantly searching for answers outside of us. So One World Academy was started with that intention that each and every individual on this planet can be taught to make the journey within, to find happiness within them, to find fulfillment within them, to find joy within them, to find love, connection, courage, passion within them, so that they can then give back to the world. See, we are constantly searching for love outside of us. We are searching for passion outside of us. We want something to motivate us. We want someone else to love us. If you're in a suffering state, if you're in a state of fear, if you're in a state of anger, if you're in a state of disconnect, how will you experience these beautiful experiences? So our understanding is you need to live in these beautiful states to share. So we're in a constant mode of expecting. We want someone to give so that we can transform. We want someone to change so that we can transform. We want situations to change around our life so that we can feel better. Well, we are constantly seeing people are changing. Probably someone is really loving you. Probably the systems outside are certainly becoming better. But we are constantly seeing in the world that we are becoming unhappier. We are not becoming happier beings. That means the answer is within us. It's not outside of us. What is outside of us is to create a better world, a more comfortable world, a world that can be more beautiful, which can be enjoyed, and where we can survive as a human species. But to find real joy and to find real happiness and love and connection, you need to move inwards. So with that intention, One World Academy was formed.
Now, who taught you these principles early on? Like, how did you discover these things? Were you suffering a lot as a child and you were seeking this? Mm-hmm. Or were you always brought up understanding these principles?
I was not suffering as a child. My parents have been wonderful to me. They brought me up in a very beautiful way. In fact, so much so that they never even asked what was my marks and my grades or anything like that. So I had wonderful parenting. I'm lucky to be born in a spiritual family. Mm. So my father is a spiritual master in this country. And got exposed to spirituality from the age of 12. So have been part of his work and what he has been doing. So, and somewhere I think, I would not say somewhere, but I think throughout my life, I've always looked inwards for my happiness.
You have?
Yes.
How and did you understand that? Was that your father or was that your...
Definitely my father did not particularly tell me that move inwards, but his teachings have helped. But I have always told myself in those days from the age of 12, 13 onwards, always felt that I should take responsibility if something went wrong. So it was a very simple teaching, but it definitely made me see the truth to some extent in the external, that I need to get better at this. So I can't keep blaming and blaming and find fault with someone else and go on this path of suffering and, you know, creating, making the problem bigger. So I always used to look inward and used to say, okay, next time there'll be a lot of change brought to this problem, particular problem. And I definitely would see my shortcomings, where I went wrong, I would. And I would make those corrections. Later on, as I grew, the insights became better. Mm. And definitely the understanding became much more clearer that if you want to live a happy life, the answers are within you and not outside of you. Mm.
Who would you say is more influential for you growing up, mom or dad?
Dad.
And what was the biggest lesson he taught you?
The biggest lesson he taught me was life is here to serve others.
Life is here to serve others.
Others. And he said, you will find tremendous fulfillment in spiritual work because it's really helping people and making them happier. And I think that was a very powerful seed that he laid within me. Mm. So, yeah.
What would you say is your superpower?
To live in a fantastic state most of the time.
That's your superpower? Yes. That you live in a fantastic state?
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people struggle in doing that when it seems like it's so simple?
Yes.
You know, it's so simple for you, it's so simple for your staff and team.
Yes.
Why do so many people suffer or struggle in just feeling inner joy, inner peace, inner, you know, acceptance?
Yeah, we suffer for many reasons. One reason could be we are constantly, as I said earlier, looking for answers outside of us. We want to blame someone else for our happiness, for our sadness, for all the problems we have in life.
If they don't do something for you or they do something against you.
Against you.
Then we put the blame on someone else.
Yes. And then we're also searching for our joy in someone else, through someone else constantly.
So more material things, right?
More material things. That's definitely one reason. But I think there's only one path to joy, one path to joy and to find happiness. And that path is to look at the truth. Not looking at the truth externally, that, oh, he is bad, therefore I need to be careful and strategize my way of speaking or be manipulative. Or this system is bad, so I need to understand how to work around the system. That's not the truth we are talking about. We are talking about the truth that's about you. So you need to see what is causing you the suffering. Why are you suffering? And once you can see the truth, then you'll have freedom from it.
What's the truth?
And that truth is all suffering arises from obsessive self-centric thinking. So
inner suffering we're talking
inner
about.
Inner suffering. So you are in a job, you get fired. That's the problem. The problem is you got fired and you need to find a new job. But we suffer. Why do we suffer? The first thing is there's hurt. I got fired. Who is this guy to fire me? I did so much of hard work. I was a fantastic guy. I adjusted. I was a great team player, but I still got fired. Well, now I have a lifestyle. How am I to live the same lifestyle if I don't find a job? What am I going to go and tell my wife? What am I going to go tell my parents? What am I going to go tell my kids? So you have moved away from the problem of finding another job to yourself.
Mm.
And that's where suffering comes from. So I'll give an interesting example. There was this participant from China, and he was here. And after he went back, he was diagnosed with cancer, level 3 or something. And whole family are One World Academy students. So he probably was the most happiest cancer patient, because during his cancer, he could see as suffering arose. All that he was doing was he was thinking about himself. What will happen to my kids when I die? What's going to happen to this wealth?
Why did this happen to me?
Why did this happen to me? I worked so hard. I've been such a good man. I've been such a good person to everyone. Why this to me? Why did God punish me? I didn't do anything good for people. I've been so much family oriented. I have not really contributed. I thought I will contribute at this particular age, but I can't do that now. So once he brought awareness to that truth, where he's only thinking about himself and actually moved away from treating his cancer, he became free of his suffering. And believe it or not, as you become free of your suffering, your health improves. As your inner state becomes better, your health actually improves. And definitely the family worked together to find a solution for his external problem, which is cancer. And yes, they found the solution and he's cured.
Mm.
But he said, I could handle my suffering very, very easily because it was all about me.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's where the answer is. You need to see the truth.
So, okay, if I see the truth, I'm suffering, I'm upset, I'm agonizing over
something. The first step is you should recognize that you're suffering. We have met many people who don't even want to accept that they're suffering.
Right. So
you need to bring awareness and observation to the fact that you are suffering.
Okay. And then, but how do you end it?
You end it by looking at the truth. The beauty is when you look at the truth, the freedom is automatic.
Really?
Yes.
So nothing else needs to happen.
Nothing else needs to happen.
You look at the truth, you see it.
Yes.
And realize that it's about me. I'm suffering because of my obsessive, self-centric thinking.
Yes.
And once I recognize that, then the suffering goes away?
Yes, because you'll clearly see that you have moved away from love, you have moved away from connection, you have moved away from courage, you have moved away from vision, your passion to yourself.
Mm.
So you have moved away from also addressing your problems to yourself. Then you are in the space of really answering the question, what is important to me? Am I going to keep suffering like this and obsessing about myself?
Right.
Or if I have a problem with my children or with my wife, am I going to move into a beautiful state and address that problem?
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to address it. Because if I go on this path of suffering, everything around me is going to get destroyed.
Mm.
So that's...
I feel like a lot of people inflict suffering on themselves, whether through their beliefs, through religion, or through family stuff. They feel like they have to suffer to, I don't know, live better in the afterlife or do something or to give back in some way.
Yes.
What is that doing for us? Why do we focus so much on suffering when it only hurts us more and more and takes us away from joy?
Well, the first answer is we don't know how to come out of our suffering. That's the first one. The second answer is we really do not have a stronger, deeper purpose for our relationships. We need to find those answers. And the third one is you need to look at the truth. See, I was in London giving a talk when we started in 2009, 2010. And there was this woman who stood up and asked me this question, Krishnaji, I understand these two states and everything, but throughout my life, I have been taught that if you suffer from there, your passion to get more in life or achieve more in life is easier because now you have learned a lot and you have suffered.
Now you're driven or something.
Now you're driven. So I just told her that you've just not learned the art of creating success from a beautiful state. That's it.
From inspiration as opposed
from
to
inspiration,
proving
from,
people wrong or
yes,
trying to make yourself look good.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, my entire childhood, I came from a place of proving people wrong, of creating to show that I was worthy enough of acceptance or love. And it drove me to create. I mean, I created everything I wanted.
Okay.
But every time I would achieve the dream or the goal or the vision, it was like there was more suffering afterwards. There was like this I was never complete. It was never whole. It was always like, what's next? This wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the way I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I continued to be driven by this, mm-hmm. I guess, negative state as opposed to a beautiful yes. state. And it's tricky because it's, you feel like, well, I'm driven by this thing, this emotion, and it's getting me what I want.
Yeah.
I'm achieving what I want. It's yeah. happening. Things are happening. I'm making money. I have yes. access to things.
Yeah.
But at what cost?
Yes.
And a few years ago when I started on this journey and realized that I can come from inspiration, from coming from a place of passion, yes. a place of I'm already complete, and yes. I want to create this to make an impact in the world.
Yes.
It was so much more enjoyable.
Yes.
And the process was easier. It wasn't hard.
Okay.
It wasn't the stressful anxiousness. Like if yes. something didn't work out, I could move through it with more peace.
Okay.
And I'm still able to create. And I feel like it's even more powerful.
Yes, much more powerful.
There's like this spiritual vision that's like fueling,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And so what's the importance of a spiritual vision? And if we don't have one, what's going to happen to us?
Well, if we don't have one, we are going to suffer.
Because we don't have a spiritual vision.
Yes. Because spiritual vision is all about living in a beautiful state and acting from that beautiful state, addressing your problems from a beautiful state, not from a state of anger, not from a state of fear, insecurity, loneliness, or depression, but from a state of courage, passion, connection. So one needs to learn to live in that state. That should become the most important thing, because as I told earlier, all experiences are happening within you. So
it's our interpretation, right?
One, it's our interpretation. Two, if you're suffering, there's only one interpretation. It's about you.
Right.
Okay.
But there's experiences happening in the external world.
Yes.
And then we interpret it in a certain way internally.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And it's either a suffering experience or non-suffering.
Yes. And you're right. But when suffering arises, you're stopped interpreting the outer world. You're only thinking about yourself.
Gotcha.
Okay. But if you're just interpreting the outer world without suffering, then you are probably thinking about how do I solve this problem from a strategy point of view, or just from a vision perspective. You're looking at how do I make this just better. You're not mm-hmm. suffering, but you're just seeing at it from a practical, pragmatic, in a pragmatic way. So, spiritual vision, I think, is the most important thing. If you do not learn to live in a beautiful state and learn to relate from that state, you will not be enjoying any of your relationships, be it your kids, your wife, your work, your profession, and yourself.
So how do we cultivate that on a daily basis, besides being aware of, maybe we're not suffering, but how do we just stay in that and cultivate it?
There are definitely certain meditations that we offer which you can practice on a daily basis. Those will help cultivating the beautiful state.
Why is meditation so powerful?
Meditation is powerful because meditation becomes powerful when you apply wisdom. See, meditation should go along with wisdom.
So not just meditating to meditate and not understanding why.
Yeah, not understanding why.
But understanding why you're meditating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to, there has to be a purpose for meditation. And that purpose must have the right path. Then you're meditating in the right way. Otherwise, meditation by itself has no purpose.
Mm.
It might make you just feel good, but you would not have achieved anything by it. Yeah.
Might help for a few hours. But
a few hours, gotcha. A few minutes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What would you say is your spiritual vision then?
My spiritual vision has always been to live in a beautiful, powerful state and address my challenges and my vision in every aspect of my life from that state. That's my spiritual vision.
What would you say is your external vision?
My external vision, I have quite a few visions for my life, for my family, for my businesses, and the spiritual work I do. But coming to One World Academy, to really give people liberative wisdom and powerful direct experiences that can completely transform them as a human being and revolutionize the way they think and the way they live their life and the way they will relate with every aspect of their life. Yeah.
How does this wisdom apply for business? Because you've built a number of successful businesses, you've done very
yes.
well financially. How do you apply this mindset and this way of being mm-hmm. in all of your relationships and business? Because there's a lot of entrepreneurs watching.
Yes.
And what if they're like, well, this is just for your relationships, your family and your intimate relationships, but can this really be helpful for my career, my business?
Yes. I have interacted with many business people, and one of the strong emotions that they work from is competitiveness. You know, they constantly compete with somebody else.
Competitiveness.
Competitiveness, yeah. So I was in a meeting with one guy here in India who's a very big business person, and I was asking him what's the vision and what's the purpose, and he was telling me, like, I want to become better than that guy.
Right.
I want to do things better than that person. I want to get those projects. Then I told him, I don't think so that's going to work, because that guy is good at what he's doing. Right. So you need to find what you are good at and what you really love doing. Then I think you'll be far more successful. So I think it's very important, number one, to find what the vision is. And number two, not to go about achieving that vision from a place of fear. See, we are constantly, most business people want to achieve from a space of fear. And after achieving, they don't want to lose what they've achieved. Again, it's fear. So there's definitely no enjoyment in this entire path. So I have done it from a beautiful state. If there's a challenge, because I can differentiate challenge and suffering, I address it. I see that suffering is about me. And once I am out of my suffering, there is immense clarity and power to address the challenge, whatever the challenge might be. Because now you're seeing challenge as a challenge. You are not part of that. Mm-hmm. So then there's tremendous clarity to address those problems. Unfortunately, we make it too much about ourselves. We make it too much about our image. We make it too much about what people are constantly thinking about us. So if you bring awareness and if you start looking at the truth, then you will actually see that 70% or 80% of the time you are spending thinking about yourself rather than your business.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you ever come from that? Do you ever get in that space where you're getting competitive or comparing yourself to someone else in business in your industry, or do you ever?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
I would say not much.
Okay.
Not much. I am very, very clear about what I want to do. I am very clear about how my projects must look, and I'm very, very clear about what is the team I want. What are the kind of people that needs to work with me? And if there's too much competition, I'm okay with letting it go, and I know that there'll be a bigger opportunity coming my way next time.
What if something doesn't work out the way you want it to be? You have this vision of, like, I want these people to do these things, and then it doesn't work out. How do you react?
I do get upset.
You do get upset?
Yeah, I do get upset and a little frustrated. Because most of the time, at least here, it's because of the systems.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that need to go together to make your project successful.
Yeah.
And sometimes systems break down. And so you know that you did your best and systems break down. Again, if you enter into suffering, apply the teaching. So
right.
So I see the problem, and for the next project, we make sure that we first correct the systems and then go ahead with the entire project. So
whenever you recognize you're in a breakdown,
yes.
What's your process?
If I recognize the external problem, which is breaking down,
then you feel like a reaction in some way.
I don't react.
You don't react?
I don't react.
Never?
Never. No, I don't
react. But you get frustrated sometimes.
I do get frustrated, yes. But I get frustrated, I do get angry, I do get hurt. All these are emotions, that things did not go according to my plan and things did not work out the way it had to go. All that really hurts, but that's being human, right?
Yeah.
But I think...
You're human?
But I think once you have the spiritual vision, which is the most important thing, is to live in a beautiful state. And once you live there, there's tremendous intelligence and clarity that comes. You move there.
Mm-hmm.
You move there and...
What answers do you not have yet?
What answers do I have not? In which sphere of my life? You're talking spirituality, business?
In spirituality. Like, is there an answer that you're still... Is there a question you're seeking? Because you've been seeking for a long time. You've got this curriculum. You've got this material. You've got the truth. Mm-hmm. But what's missing? Is there something that's like inside of you that's like, I don't know the answer?
No.
You know the answer to everything.
Yes. Everything.
Why do you think you're here?
I'm here to do this work, I'm here to be a loving husband and a loving father, a loving son, and definitely a loving friend to many of my friends. And I'm here to definitely create a difference to the world. Yeah.
Do you think everyone has that same purpose?
I don't know. I would not like to make that into an ideal, that everyone has a... I think...
How do you know that's your purpose? Or when did you discover that?
I knew, I think, probably from the age of 14, 15. Yeah. That I'm definitely here for doing something great. And I want to do it. It's not like... I'll put it this way. I'll put it that it's my decision. It's my right action that I want to do this.
You don't feel forced?
No, I don't feel forced. It's not like I had a revelation and, you know, someone came into my dream and told me this is your... No, it's not like that.
Right.
It's something that I have discovered and it's
organic.
It's organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's total clarity. It's something that I found within me. It's not something that's given to me.
Hmm. What about all the people that have religious beliefs?
Uh-huh.
Because you grew up religiously, right? Your father's religious, yes. Would you say?
Yes.
And
my father is not religious. My father's work is spiritual, but the work is centered around God realization.
Around God?
God realization.
Realization.
Yeah, realization. So that way it is religious, yeah.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah. And this work is not related around God in any way?
In the sense, I think for us, the topic on God has been addressed over thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are many, many people who are talking about that. So, and for us, I think we have found the answers for a beautiful state, for a transcendental state, and the enlightened state, all these powerful states through spirituality. And spirituality is different from religion.
What's your definition of both?
Spirituality is moving inwards. You are looking for your happiness, for answers for your suffering within you. Religion is where you're moving outwards. You are suffering, you want to go and pray, and you want someone else to take care of your suffering who is far more powerful than you.
Mm.
So spirituality is moving inwards, religion is moving outwards. So both are fine. There's nothing superior, nothing inferior. But we have chosen this path.
So you're not against religion, you're not against...
No, not at all.
People believing in God.
We are only against one thing. We are only against suffering.
Suffering states.
That's it.
And so if someone believes in religion or God or thousands mm-hmm. of gods and it brings them relief or mm-hmm. brings them a beautiful state, then
mm-hmm. it's beautiful.
That's what you want them to focus on.
That's what they can focus on.
Right, right. Yeah. You just don't think that's your truth.
I just don't think that it's a very effective way.
To put your attention on mm-hmm. a being or a god
mm-hmm.
or God
mm-hmm.
to give you a beautiful state, and why is that not effective?
Well, I should ask you that question, because if you have done that, have you found peace and happiness if you're a believer in God?
I don't know if some people have or not.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so most of them have told me I don't know, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
When most people come in here and do work with you, is that their belief usually? They believe in God and...
Many of them, yes, they believe in God, but we have made it very clear that I personally feel that you can go to God and you can pray for your problems. See, most of us go and pray for our problems. We want to become financially successful, or we want our health to become better, or we, in India, people go for, my kid must get a good, must get married well, must study well, must go to America for higher education. So I think for miracles, definitely I think that path is an excellent path. But if you want to learn, grow and transform, and then I think you should take the spiritual path.
Mm.
Yeah.
What's the thing that people suffer around the most that you've seen over the last 10 years doing this work? What's the common theme?
The common theme. Interesting question. No one has asked me this.
Well, you've never been on the School of Greatness.
Yes, and I'm loving it. The common theme will be, I would say, lack of vision. Definitely.
And what's the difference between, is vision and purpose similar or?
Yeah, they're similar, but you know, when we use the word vision and purpose, we always try to make it very big. And I always tell people it's not about bigness. It could be purpose in a relationship with your partner or even with your kids. So I think we find people don't have that vision.
They don't have a vision.
Yeah, they don't have vision. So people have kids, but they don't know why they're having kids. People get into a relationship, they don't know why they're getting into a relationship.
And they suffer. So vision, would you say, is the most important first step in terms of like an action plan of having something?
Absolutely, yes.
So without vision, you're just wandering in the universe asking, why am I here? What's the point of this?
Spiritual vision, I would say, is the first step.
Spiritual vision.
That is the inner state.
And that's your way of being.
So how do I
want to be in the world? That's the second step.
Second step.
So the first step is spiritual vision.
Vision. Because you need to first learn to become free of your fears, your insecurity, your lack of connection. These are the things that you should become first free of.
Because that holds us back.
Yes.
And then who do I want to be in the world? Our way of being, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I want to be loving, I want to be passionate, I want to be...
Yes, I want to do this.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. And then would you say the external vision afterwards?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And then goals and strategizing it.
Yes.
Yeah, making sure... Whom do you want to be? Whom do you want to be? Your team member? Where do you go find your finances? Mm-hmm. How do you want to raise your money? Everything. The whole plan works out then.
How would you say if someone says, "I have no clue what I want to create in the world. I have no clue. I don't know what I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. I like everything. How do I get my focus into one thing?" What would you say to someone like that?
I think they should. As I told you earlier, you know, if you're constantly going to tell people that you should find some mission or vision that's transforming the world or transforming the country, then it's going to be very difficult. All 7.5 billion people.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
Start smaller.
Yeah, start smaller. I think that's very important because small changes can actually make big changes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that. So I think small changes are very, very important. What's the point in me doing this work if I am not having a vision for my daughter and if for my family and for my business? It's really not worth it. So, and at the same time, we cannot say that that's small. You know, you're creating the next generation who are going to take care of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. So I think we should, I think all of us together should work on changing this perception.
Yeah.
We are somehow constantly telling the world, find this big thing, and all these guys are not able to find it, and they're all suffering. And
cure cancer, do this.
Yeah. So I think first let them do the smaller things, which are also very, very important. Again, saying them small is wrong. They are big things. Your partner is a big thing. Your child is a big thing. Your business is a big thing. Your family is
community.
A big thing. Your parents are big. All these are big things. This is what makes you who you are. So first, we need to address these things and learn to find happiness here.
A lot of your staff lives a particular lifestyle.
Yes.
Right? A monk lifestyle.
Yes.
But you don't, correct?
Yes.
And why is that?
They made their choice. I made my choice.
Okay. Do you feel that because you're married, you have a child, you have all these other businesses, all these other types of relationships that could be messier, do you feel like it's harder for you to stay spiritually grounded because you have a lot of moving parts in your life?
No, it's very easy.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because spirituality is all about looking inwards and finding your beautiful state.
So
I'm not running to some 10 pilgrimage centers to find my happiness. Then I'll be very busy traveling and doing stuff, attending programs here, attending programs there, and going meeting this person, that person. I'm not doing that. Right. So I have a lot of time to spend with my family and with myself.
That's good.
Yeah.
What do you feel like holds you back right now? Is there anything that's missing for you or that...
Personally,
or that keeps you from... being the person or achieving the thing you want right now?
On the spiritual side, really nothing. On the business side, I think I definitely have to get to know a lot more on what's happening in the world. I'm just so stuck in this work right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm losing out a little bit there. So I just need to, I think, work a lot more to get that going. That's not disturbing me, but I know that that's an area where I need to somehow find time and pay more attention there so that I can keep up speed.
Right.
It's changing so much.
Right.
Yeah.
What would you say is the question you get the most? And just to put this in the context before you answer, you get, you know, a lot of big business executives come here, CEOs of major companies. Tony Robbins has been here before. You have people from all over the world that come here. In the group that I was in, I think there was like 7 or 8 different countries and just 20 of us.
Yes.
Leaders. We're talking about big leaders here.
Yes.
But also people that are just figuring things out. So you have a wide spectrum.
Yes.
It seems like more leaders come than not.
Yes.
So what would you say is the biggest question or the most frequent question?
For leaders, the most frequent question has been, they're actually in a space of seeking. Some of them have moved to a place of seeking, like, why am I here and what am I doing? For some of them, it's been relationship at home, relationship with parents. So different things, I would say each would fall equally in its basket.
Why are relationships so challenging for people?
It's so challenging because we're all different. I'm not you and you are not me.
why it seems like now more than ever marriages are so challenging? They're facing a lot of challenges. You know, 50% is divorce rate in the US.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it's like here in India, but why do we, is it because we're so focused on ourselves, or is it because there's so many options and we think we deserve something better? Is it a combination of things?
I think all these are true, but they're only true at a certain level. The real truth is there's no spiritual vision.
With the relationship.
And again, they're trying to find answers externally. So you think by changing the person, you'll find your happiness.
So how do you know if it's the right fit then?
Well, that's something practical, right? You can be very pragmatic about it. If someone is using abusive language or being physically abusive with you, you just need to make a practical decision that this is not working.
Gotcha. But a spiritual vision, most relationships don't have that.
Most.
What would you advise if a couple is sitting right in front of you saying, you know, we're struggling right now, and you said, okay, you need to have a spiritual vision, what would you say they need to focus on? How do they create that together, individually and then together?
They can do it individually. They can also do it together. But I think they need to understand and ask this question, what's the foundation for the relationship? So many discover it's money, it's power, it's beauty, it's many other things. And as those fade away or as those are questionable, your relationship changes, your equation changes. So you need to see the truth.
What would you say is the most profound, enlightened, or transcendental experience you've ever had? what happens? For how long? What was the journey? Nothing's too weird.
Yes. I think the most profound, I would say, the one I've had is me not existing. So became one with everything around me. Yeah.
The universe.
Yeah, everything.
Became one. What does that mean? What did it feel like? What was it like?
The feeling is you don't exist. You are not there. And
your body or your mind?
You're both. You are everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did that last for?
I would say I've had it many times.
Really?
So yeah, so
just wake up in the morning and flip on the switch and you're everywhere.
No. But I would say at least 7-8 minutes has been maximum sometimes.
And how do you get into that space personally?
I get into it while I'm meditating.
And what do you?
That's the secret.
Meditation. Can you get into it when you're not meditating?
Yes, I can. Yeah.
And what do you notice when you're everywhere?
I notice that we are actually just a process of this whole universe, a small process.
The universe is a process.
The universe is a process, and you are a small process.
And we're a small process. And what's the point of the process?
From the perspective of from the context of the universe?
Sure.
I don't know. But from the context of our life, to do something good.
Yeah.
And to live in a beautiful state.
Why do you think that's our purpose, to do something good?
More than to do something good, to live in a beautiful state, I would say, is a deeper and a much bigger purpose.
Why not live in a negative state and break everything down? What if that's our purpose?
All of us are constantly searching for happiness, peace, and love. So definitely we know that we cannot live in these negative states, and we want to become free of these negative states.
Right.
So, and I always tell that there are only two states of being, either a suffering state or a no suffering state. So if these are the only two states we experience our life from, then the most important question in life is, which state do you want to live in? And everyone knows the answer, a beautiful state.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your point of view of ideals? Because I know certain people talk about you need to have a set of ideals to live by. Do you believe in ideals? What's the purpose of them?
I think ideals are good up to a point. So because it definitely gives you direction to be a good person or to do good things. But you're just doing, you're not being. So ideals never make you be, it only makes you do. And beyond a point, they become a burden because you're something else within and you're trying to be something else outside. And that's when you completely break it down. So you break down and everything breaks down. So
all your ideals break down.
Everything breaks down. So you try to be this nice husband, and one fine day you're this worst husband.
And then what?
Exactly.
Right. And then you're questioning everything,
then you're
right?
Questioning the ideal, and then you're questioning all that you believed in.
So it's exhausting.
It's totally exhausting because it is not your truth. It is someone else's truth.
Or what you think your truth should be, right?
Yes, exactly. And you also want the other person to believe in the same truth. So you believe that you have to be a good husband. Then you believe your wife has to be a good wife. Then you believe your children have to be good children. Whereas all of us are different human beings. We're all very different.
Yeah.
So they're okay too. Up to a point. It's not about what you're doing, it's about who you are, and that's where the beautiful state comes in.
Mm-hmm. Who would you say is your greatest teacher?
It'll sound a little arrogant, but the truth is myself and life, I would say.
Is there anyone else who's been a great teacher for you besides yourself?
My dad.
Your dad.
Yeah.
What's his name?
My dad's name is Sri Bhagwan.
Yeah. And he runs a center as well, right? A spiritual center here in India?
Yes.
That's very popular.
Very big.
It's been around for
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
He gets thousands of people every week, or what is it?
Thousands, yeah.
Thousands every week?
Every week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And why did you not want to go take that over or be a part of that?
I am definitely part of it, in the sense I am the one who built it up, the entire...
Because you were there at the beginning, right?
I was there at the
beginning. Your experience, I heard from Krishnaraj that your experience was you guys were in the school that he started.
Yes.
You started having these experiences.
Yes, yes.
Other kids started having spiritual experiences.
Yes. I think one of the biggest reasons the oneness movement grew is through a very divine process or spiritual process called the oneness blessing or the oneness diksha, which many people around the world practice. And that phenomenon began through me. I was the first one to transfer that
really
to someone else, yeah. So at the age of 12. So in that way, I played a very big role on the spiritual side of
it. Tell me what happened.
Lewis.
What was the experience? So your experience is what created this foundation for transformation around the world is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, so let's hear it.
It was an experience where I had a very, can call it a divine being with whom I could communicate within my heart. And slowly the divine being turned into this beautiful golden ball, and then I could actually transfer this to someone else.
What were you transferring?
When we were transferring it, it was basically told that you can come in touch with your God, and you can come in touch with your divine. So it's more like an intent, and so people used to have
an intent. Is what you said?
An intent. Yeah. So people used to have and see their divinity, the divine they believed in within themselves. And they could communicate, they could talk. So they had this personal God that they could be in communion with.
Wow.
So that's the phenomenon that began. Yeah.
So it happened first with you?
Yes.
And how did that experience, how was it facilitated? Was your dad a part of that experience?
Absolutely, yes.
So he facilitated this, or was it just organic?
It was organic. It was organic, and it was my dad's decision to tell me that I think you should now see if you can transfer this to someone else.
And who was the first person you transferred it to?
It was to Samadarshini, who is one of the senior faculty here, and the second one was Anandagiri, who is also a senior faculty here. Yeah.
And what was their experience like?
You should ask them.
Okay, yeah. I will later.
Yeah.
And so based on that, your dad decided, hey, I want to start, this is what I want to be doing?
No, his work started much before that. This was a phenomenon that just began along with what my dad was doing.
Gotcha.
His work began as courses. See, my father here in this country is seen as someone to whom they can pray and their problems can be solved, miracles can happen. And also there are powerful teachings along with that process. So that's how the work began.
Mm-hmm.
But then this phenomenon, which is called the oneness blessing or the Diksha, this phenomenon just made sure that everything happened much faster.
Mm.
So I could transfer it to you, and then you had the power to transfer it to somebody else.
Wow.
And the benefits were health, it was relationships, better relationships,
clarity.
Yeah. And many beautiful mystical spiritual experiences people had, powerful experiences. Yeah.
Wow. What's been the greatest miracle or recovery you've seen from anyone you've been working with?
In terms of transformation, you're asking?
Transformation.
Oh, all of them. All of them. I would not pick anyone particularly.
Do you ever get surprised by any transformations?
Surprised? No. No. Yeah, because I know exactly that's what I want, so I don't get surprised.
Is there any question that you wish people would ask you that they don't ask?
I have not thought about it. But from course's perspective, I definitely would love to teach people many wonderful realizations and teachings that have given me freedom.
Mm.
But that needs for someone to become a seeker, and it needs for someone to ask more deeper questions and more important questions. I would like people to get to that place so that I can help them with ultimate freedom. And yeah.
What are three questions everyone should ask?
What are the three questions?
What are three questions everyone should be asking themselves? No matter what stage of life they're at.
Okay. I would say definitely number one is, why am I doing what I am doing? Number two is, how do I find my happiness? And how do I be in this joyful state? And number three would be, how do I find the spiritual vision for each and every aspect of my life?
Mm. Those are great three questions.
Yeah.
Should write a book on those questions.
Sure, you should.
What's something you've done that a lot of people don't know about you that you're really proud of?
I will say One World Academy. Yeah. Yeah, we are small.
Yeah,
we are growing. So, yeah.
Okay. Final few questions. Before I ask them, is there any questions you want to ask me?
How'd you get?
Yes, definitely.
You don't have to. I'm just
I want to. You're doing amazing work, and I love what you're doing. And more than that, I love you as a human being.
Thank you.
A very wonderful person. And you have come here, you have learned a lot, and there has been definitely growth and transformation. So from your perspective, what do you think your listeners and people in the world should do to understand our work better and, one, understand our work better, two, really, the teachings that you have learned?
Mm-hmm. What should they understand?
What should they understand, and so, what is it that you understand?
I think people need to simplify their lives.
Okay.
I think we create too much complexity in our minds.
Okay.
Of the way we think things should look or how things should be. And we are constantly in an analytical mindset.
Okay.
We're prisoners of this analytical mind where we constantly think and question things over and over.
Okay.
And just run in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being calm and peaceful and joyful and just moving forward.
Okay. So why should one be calm?
I think people need, because it's freeing.
Okay.
It's freeing and it's more fun.
Okay.
Whenever I'm around people that are constantly in their head and they're analytical, and they're questioning everything, or they can't make a decision on something, it looks hard. It looks exhausting to me.
Okay.
It's like they're tight in their body because they're tight in their mind.
Okay.
So for me, I like to keep things as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. I think you guys do a great job of breaking things down in simple ways.
Okay.
You're either in a suffering state or a non-suffering state.
Yes.
Which one do you want to be in?
Yes.
Okay, let's move into a non-suffering state. Here's how to do it. Here's the practices. Here's what you can do on a daily basis. Here's the routines. And here's the truth that you need to have.
Yes.
Now build from a spiritual vision and move forward in your life.
Yes.
Challenges are going to come up. They're going to arise. But if you stay grounded in your spiritual vision and you always come back to that, and you can move through it easier.
Yes.
And I think it comes down to being as simple as that.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But people complicate things so much.
Yes.
And I think sometimes, I mean, we may not always have the answers to certain things.
Yeah.
You know, I asked you a question the other day and you gave me an answer, but it's probably a lot more of a process to go through to really understand some of these answers.
Yes.
And so I think some things we need to be okay with a certain level, not knowing for sure everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But being okay with it.
Absolutely, yes, correct.
And living from a place of love, joy,
yes,
and passion. Because we're here, we might as well make the most of it.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
I think that's what it is. And I think if people rid themselves of their analytical mind that imprisons them in their body, they become, there's just bars around their body that they can't get out.
Okay.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And it sucks to be around. It's not fun to be around those individuals, and you want to support them. So I would say listen to this again.
Yes.
And come to a workshop in the US or wherever you are in the world, or come here to experience it for yourself, because it is very profound. So that's what I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And why do you think people make their life complicated?
I don't think they know any other way. I think they were raised probably seeing it complicated. They feel like maybe with their peers, you know, there's a competition, especially in the U.S., of like who's busier,
okay,
who's more stressed out.
Okay.
It's like one-upping someone based on your level of stress.
Okay.
And I think they're not present to the fact they don't need to be that way.
Okay.
They're
so
not aware.
So what you're saying is they're constantly trying to be somebody else. Or they're trying to be...
Or they don't feel like they're good enough, or they don't feel like they're whole enough already.
Okay.
And so they're searching or trying to create something to prove that they're good enough.
So how do they know that they're not good enough? Because they're looking at someone and they're judging themselves?
Yes, or they're being made fun of, or they're not getting the attention or the love they want, or they're not getting the acknowledgement they want.
So the search is outside?
Outside, yeah.
Got it.
I think acknowledgement is a big thing.
Okay.
If we're constantly seeking for acknowledgement from the outside, then we're never going to be happy.
Okay. By doing nothing?
What's that?
By doing nothing?
By doing nothing?
Are people seeking acknowledgement by doing nothing?
Oh, I hope not, but I'm sure they are. Yeah, I'm sure they are.
And that's an important truth one must see.
What's that?
That acknowledgement will come automatically if you're doing something.
Yeah, if you're doing something good.
Yeah.
And you even talked about it in the beginning, like, yeah, you know, in this minute, I just finished a meditation instructor training.
Yes.
And one of the vows that you taught us in the beginning, mm-hmm, there's three vows. I'm going to forget the first two, and they're in my notes. But one of them is to not go into the practice of serving others to receive acknowledgement.
Correct.
Because then it's not going to be a heartfelt connection or interaction.
Absolutely,
you're going to feel a disconnect.
Yes.
And so I think when we come from a place of, I'm going to make an impact because I want to get this acknowledgement, because I want to win the award, because I want to want people bowing to me in their own metaphorical way,
yeah,
it's going to feel exhausting and still focusing on the self,
and,
right?
And there's no spiritual vision there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's removing, like, it's nice to get acknowledgement.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, I'm sure you like it.
Yes.
But if that's our focus, there's going to be suffering.
Yes.
Because when we don't get it, we're going to have an expectation that's not met.
Yes.
So...
And also the truth is you're not working for the sake of the work, but for acknowledgement.
For ourselves.
Yeah. And then that becomes like a vicious cycle and you suffer more.
Yeah.
And then what happens is even if people truly acknowledge, that's not enough.
It's never enough. You need more, right?
Yes, you need more.
Any other questions for me? You don't have to, obviously.
Why do you think living in a beautiful state is important from a perspective of day-to-day life?
Hey, Montana homeowners. Are you sick and tired of watching your cash burn away?
For a number of reasons. One, health-wise.
Okay.
When I'm not living in a beautiful state, I feel it emotionally, mm-hmm, internally, and I feel like it affects my health.
Yeah.
My physical health, my sleep hurts, my body aches over time.
Yes.
I get exhausted, so that's number one, is it frees me of that physical pain. Number two is, I think it's important because I believe we're all here to be symbols of inspiration.
Okay, yes.
We're either symbols of inspiration or symbols of something negative.
Yes, okay.
And I look at myself as I want to be a symbol that anyone that I come in contact with, doesn't, mm-hmm, matter if I'm in Delhi, in the spice market, mm-hmm, walking down the street, the Uber driver who's driving me to the, mm-hmm, spice market, who could barely understand English, I was constantly coming from a place of joy, a place of curiosity, a place of interest, a, mm-hmm, place of trying to transfer positivity to someone else's,
okay,
life. When I was walking down the street, I was interacting with people in a joyful way.
Okay.
And I feel like it's my mission to be a symbol, that symbol. And it's, okay, all of our missions should be to be a symbol of inspiration, to spread joy,
mm-hmm,
and positivity. Because,
wonderful,
the other is a negative state that brings, mm-hmm, suffering and,
yes,
and pain. And
yes. And you're doing it beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Doing my best.
That's what I told you in the beginning. You're a very wonderful person. And that's more important for us.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I think people also want to feel like they're very smart and intelligent.
Yes.
And so they're constantly, mm-hmm, driven to learn more and to feel like they're adequate enough, mm-hmm, in relationships or in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember early on that I never felt like I was smart because I couldn't study well in school.
Okay.
But I feel like I learned a new superpower. I was like, well, as long as I can transfer positivity, mm-hmm. then it doesn't matter. I don't need to be smart, yes. you know what I mean? So yes. I think being a good human being mm-hmm. and having a positive energy is more important than how much you know.
Absolutely.
If you're negative with your intelligence.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anything else?